To the United States now, and the former President George W. Bush is due to release his memoir later this year. But one of the United States' top presidential historians has got in first. While many journalists writing the first draft of history delivered a harsh assessment of the Bush presidency, historian Julian Zelizer predicts that George W. Bush will ultimately be judged as a president of real substance. And interestingly, he does not think that the US administration would have adopted a significantly different foreign policy in response to 9/11 if the Democrat Al Gore had been in office instead. Dr. Zelizer is the Professor of History and Public Affairs at Princeton University and the author of numerous books on US political leaders. His latest collection of essays is called George W. Bush, A First Historical Assessment. He spoke to me a short time ago from New York and says he was surprised to find himself describing the Bush presidency as a transformative one.
Well, yeah, I think many people were surprised. I mean, when he was elected, there were all kinds of jokes about him not being so intelligent, you know, being the son of a president who, you know, won office almost by accident. But then, you know, when you look at different areas of his policy, whether economics and tax cuts and deregulation, or whether the war on terrorism and changes that took place in counterterrorism policy, I think, you know, pretty quickly, as you look at his record, you realize that those older impressions were wrong.
How has working on this history changed your view? Is George W. Bush a better or worse president than you expected when you began the project?
I think he's one who had a bigger impact. And I also shared some of the skepticism about, you know, what his administration had done. But through the essays, I came away with a greater understanding that, you know, we still live in the age of President Bush, even with President Obama in office. And some people will hate him, some people love him. But I do think, you know, he'll have a kind of much more substantive perception as time goes on. You're already seeing that in discussions about what his immigration policies were. You know, he was much more liberal than many members of the Republican Party. How a lot of the war on terrorism policies are continuing through President Obama, even though Barack Obama had promised to transform them. I think historians and political scientists are already seeing that this is someone who had a lasting effect on this country.
To what extent did those terrorist attacks in the first September of his presidency define his time in office?
They were clearly a defining moment. I do think, you know, every member of the administration, like all Americans, were shaken by those attacks. That said, you know, there were a lot of other issues that the administration had already been eager to pursue, such as tax cuts and such as economic deregulation, that continued regardless of 9/11. And some foreign policies, such as Iraq and the notion of regime building, had been in the works before 9/11 started. Some people, like Vice President Cheney, since the 1970s, had been dismissive of institutions such as the United Nations. So in those cases, 9/11 accelerated certain trends or accelerated certain areas of interest, even as the president was redirected toward this threat of Al-Qaeda.
How important a part of the Bush presidency was the vice president? There was always the suspicion that Dick Cheney was really running the show, was he?
He was important. He was not running the show. And I think, you know, a lot of the authors in this book develop a much better or more coherent picture of President Bush. A lot of the ideas out of the administration were his own. Richard Cheney was a strong vice president. He was a politically shrewd operator in the White House. But it was pretty clear that President Bush ran the show.
Why do you think George W. Bush and indeed Dick Cheney were so determined to launch the war in Iraq?
Well, I think Iraq was something that bothered them, or certainly Cheney and some of the other advisors since the early 1990s, when Saddam Hussein, after the first war, had kind of gotten away. And I think it was a part of their psyche that was an war that was never finished. One of our authors, though, makes a very compelling case by looking back at 2003 and showing how it really was a war of choice and how a lot of people were questioning that war before they entered, and they consciously ignored that.
Do you think that George W. Bush and his team really believed that there was any connection between the Iraq war and Al-Qaeda?
I don't think so. I think at the broadest level that this was some kind of region where terrorism was everywhere and where rogue dictators presented in some ways as much of a threat as Al-Qaeda. But I don't think that the case they made to the public was one that was very strongly believed that there was a direct link. I mean, the evidence, you know, from some of our essays is very clear that the doubts were there all along.
There were several other key moments in the Bush presidency: Hurricane Katrina, Guantanamo and the torture issues, the global financial crisis. What did the president's reaction to these events reveal about George W. Bush the man?
Well, Katrina was a kind of huge failure for the president. And, you know, it was one where I do think he was very sympathetic and concerned about what had happened, but it revealed the limits of what kind of government he was willing to employ here in the United States. And in the end, I think, you know, as much as Iraq was a turning point politically, I think Katrina was a bigger one. You could see that the year after Katrina really starts to turn into a political disaster for this president. It revealed some of the limits of you know, what he thought about the federal government on domestic crises. At the same time, the financial crisis of 2008 revealed that in the area of commerce, money, and Wall Street, the president was willing to take action, and he was sympathetic in this area to the government helping a huge sector of the economy. Many of his advisors were not interested in the legislation he ultimately pushed for.
Do the times make a president, or does the president shape the times?
Look, the times make the president. There's no way to kind of have a book about George Bush and not see 9/11 just looming over everything he ended up doing. But the more you dig at the history of both the president and the people that surround him, you see that the way they respond to the times, the way they respond to the big issues, really is rooted in the kind of politics that brought them into the White House.
Would we be in a substantially different world had that Florida court ruled the other way and it was the Gore presidency responding to 9/11?
We would have. I mean, there are significant differences. I think on some areas of foreign policy, you wouldn't have seen as big a difference, including on domestic counterterrorism policy and possibly al-Qaeda. Iraq's the big what if. I'm not fully convinced that Al Gore would have taken a terribly different set of policies. We don't know that. But clearly, certainly on domestic policy, I think you saw a fundamental shift in priorities as a result of this administration.
Julian Zelizer, thanks very much for speaking to us.
Thanks for having me.
And Dr. Zelizer is a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. He was speaking to me from Manhattan about his new book, George W. Bush, A First Historical Assessment. And you can listen to the full interview on our website later today.